Amen. Good morning. It is great to be with you all this morning. It is just always a pleasure to get to hear from our different folks in the congregation with many different talents. So thank you. Thank you, Mary, for singing, and Barbara and Jennifer for playing. Rivers was especially interested in the violin this morning, which was fun. So this morning we're going to be starting a new series on the five habits of highly missional people. We're going to be journeying together into this practical approach about how to live out our faith with the people around us, being the hands and feet and the voice of Christ in the places that we live, work, and play. Each week we're going to be considering this a different missional habit. And each of the missional habits will come together to form the word BELLS. So you're going to hear the word BELLS a lot, and it's an acronym for Bless, Eat, Listen, Learn, and Sent. And then each week we're going to be going home with just a little bit of homework, something for you to do during the week, one of the habits to practice. And then you're going to come back and we're going to talk about it. We're going to share, have opportunities to share in the service and at Sunday school. And this morning, specifically, we're going to be looking at how we bless our neighbors in the name of Christ. That's our first habit, is bless. I do want to make mention, it didn't make its way into the bulletin this week. That's my fault. But we're going to have 2 weeks of the Bells series. Then we're going to have a special Senior Sunday. So we have Youth Sundays in the summer where the youth lead everything. We're going to have a special Senior-led Sunday, which I'm really excited about. They're going to be a couple of them, I believe that Joe and Simon are going to be sharing their testimony. There's going to be special music and children's story and all kinds of stuff. So that's kind of at the end of October. So look forward ahead to that. But before we start into this missional habit of bless, let's dive in a little bit to this idea of missional habit. What is a missional habit? Well, we're going to first start with the word missional. I know you've heard us talk about this from up front a number of times, but it's not, well, to be honest, it's not a real word, or Webster doesn't recognize it as a real word. It's a church word, and it's not something you probably use very regularly, so it's good to go back and talk about it, explore, and really ingrain in our minds what we're talking about when we're talking about missional. Webster's does define the word mission as a specific task with which a person or group is charged. So a specific task with which a person or group is charged. So what is the specific task of the church? Well, we find Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." So the mission of the church is to go, therefore, and make disciples. Now, in the church, when we think about this idea of disciple-making and mission specifically, we often divide it up into two categories. We think of evangelism on the one hand, and then service on the other hand. Evangelism, meaning the verbal proclamation of the gospel message, and then trying to ask somebody to make a conversion in their life. And then service being this intentional effort to meet physical, spiritual, or emotional needs of the people around us. The first, evangelism, is centered explicitly on this gospel good news of Jesus Christ, that if we call on his name, we can be saved. And then the second is the good news of Jesus Christ that in this world, we can also find peace. Both are ways of carrying out God's mission in the world, but neither represent the complete message that Jesus Christ brings. Because evangelism really looks oftentimes at what's coming in the future, and service addresses what's happening now. But the good news of Jesus Christ is about both what's happening in the future and now. It's about peace in eternity and peace where we live today. So missional, it's much broader and more complete than just evangelism, because it's not just concerned with conversion of a person, but it wants to walk alongside them from the point of conversion through their whole discipleship journey. Acclaimed missiologist David Bosch writes, "Mission is more than and different from recruitment to our brand of religion." So evangelism oftentimes is looked at as just recruiting people to become Christians. And it's broader and more complete than just service, because it's intentional about letting people know that the reason that we do service, the reason that we help, is motivated by Christ's call to us. In his book, Surprise the World, which our series is that we're going through is based off of, Michael Frost writes, "By missional, I mean all that we do and say that alerts others to the reign of God." I meant to say this and apologize earlier, but there are notes in your bulletins if you want to jot stuff down. It's on the back of the prayer sheet. I saw Arliss, and I know he's normally writing stuff down, and that jogged something in my brain. So it's on the back of the prayer sheet this week. So in order, missional, Michael Frost says, is alerting people to the reign of God. So in order to alert our neighbors to the reign of God, we need to develop God-directed habits that come from a heart that is centered on God's mission for the world. So missional is, I believe, the intersection of who we are on the inside, as disciples of Jesus Christ, and what we do on the outside as disciples of Jesus Christ. It's that intersection of who we are and what we do. Let's think real quick about what those two things are. Who we are. First of all, our primary identity is that we are children of God. God created all of us, and male and female, and he said that we are good. So that's our identity. But who we are is more than just that identity. It's also our passions, our dreams, our hopes, our wants, our motivations. It's everything that we are on the inside that then causes us to live in a certain way on the outside. So that is then what we do. Our work, our hobbies, our habits, the way we interact with family, friends, and neighbors. Now, the reality of all of our lives is who we are and what we do are not always, they don't always coincide. We aren't always acting in the same way out of our passions, out of our identity, out of our mission. So when who we are as disciples of Christ and what we do interacts, that is missional. When our innermost passions and our innermost desires bear fruit in the way that we live, that is missional. So we get missional then. Let's consider then, what is a habit? A habit's just something we do regularly. It can be good, bad, or neutral. Maybe you walk in the mornings, or you read to your children before bedtime, or you wear jeans on Fridays. These are good habits, or, you know, very least they're neutral habits. Maybe you chew your nails, or you drink too much caffeine, or you check your phone too often. These aren't great habits. We form habits based on our values, our priorities, and our motivation, as well as the influences of people around us. So if you value family, then, and I think most of us do, then maybe you have some kind of habit that you do every week. We set aside Friday nights to do this certain thing, or we make sure that we all eat a meal together a couple times a week. These are habits based on our value of family. Maybe you value physical fitness or just feeling good, so you make sure you exercise a few times a week. These are good value-based habits. Maybe you work with a group of people that are real big sports fans, and so you make sure that you follow OSU or something else so you can have something to talk about. That's a habit based on people around you. Likewise, habits form us into who we are and who we are becoming. This can be both good and bad. The philosopher Aristotle, he said, "We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit." So if you have this habit of maybe praying regularly, whether you want to or not, whether you always feel connected to God or not, that will develop you into a more spiritual, God-centered person. If you have the habit, and this is kind of me, to be honest, of always having to have noise on, so TV or radio or something on your computer, then it can be difficult to be alone with yourself in your silence. So this is a habit that forms you into a certain type of person. So think about for a moment, what are some of the regular habits or rhythms of your life? Think about what are the things you do on a daily, weekly, we'll say daily, weekly basis. And then think about what are the daily, weekly habits that you do that are motivated by your faith, by your identity as a believer in Jesus Christ. Which of your habits are motivated by your faith? And also, which of your habits are developing your faith? So we get the idea of missional. We get the idea of habit. So what is a missional habit? Missional, as we said, is alerting others to the reign of God in the world. It is the intersection of who we are and what we do. And habits are those things that come from our inner selves, and they also develop us. So what is a missional habit? A missional habit, then, are the things that we do that are pointing ourselves to Jesus Christ and pointing others to Jesus Christ. So think about the things that you do that direct you towards Jesus and the things that you do that direct others towards Jesus. What are the things that you do with your time? What are some of the ways that you choose to spend your money? How do you generally treat other people? Can you find missional habits in there that are directing yourself or others towards Jesus? So missional habits, we kind of hopefully have a baseline for what that is now. Now what then is the connection between these missional habits, these things that direct ourselves or others towards Jesus, and God's mission for the church as found in Matthew 28, to go into all the world and make disciples? What is the connection? If God's mission for the church is to go and make disciples, well, how do we go about doing that? Well, it first has to start with some kind of proclamation, declaration, whatever you want to say, of the gospel message. Paul makes this point in Romans 10:14 that in order for people to be able to respond to the good news, they have to first hear the good news. So this is what he says. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one in whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? It's really a simple equation. If we hope for people to be able to call on Jesus, they have to actually hear about Jesus. And if we want them to hear about Jesus, then somebody has to be saying the message. This is where, as we were talking about earlier, evangelism comes into play. Now, typically when we think of evangelism, we think of these kind of bigger evangelists, I would say, like Billy Graham type persons, or big events, evangelism events, or maybe door knocking or passing out tracts. And these are all valid examples of evangelism, of sharing that message, but they're not the only way. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:11 that the role of the evangelist, a person who evangelizes, is a specific gift given to just some people by the Holy Spirit, but it's only one out of a possible five gifts. This is what Paul says. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So hear me out on this. We all are given one of these five gifts: apostle, evangelist, prophets, shepherds, and teachers. Evangelist, as a role, is only one of these five gifts. So not all of us are called to be evangelists. Not all of us are going to be a Billy Graham type person, or a Peter, or a Paul. But we are all called to evangelism. We're not all going to be the best at it, but we are all called to somehow share the gospel message. What is the difference? Well, this is where missional habits come into play, and this is what we're going to be talking about for the next 5 weeks. Rather than expecting each and every one of us to go out and be the best evangelist we can be or create some kind of large events to share the gospel, evangelism for non-evangelists means developing these missional habits that we have that point the world to the reign of God, and being prepared then to answer the world when it asks us why we're doing these habits. And this is where the scripture that Aaron read for us this morning comes into play. 1 Peter 3:13-17. And this is what I want to point out specifically, verse 15 in this passage. Peter says, "Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an account for the hope that is in you." Always be ready to make your defense for people who ask you, why do you have this hope within inside of you? So our missional habits, the things we do to point ourselves and others to Christ, can become signposts to the world to pointing it towards God. Our missional habits can be signposts pointing the world to God if we are prepared to give an account for the hope within us, if we are prepared to tell the world why it is that we do what we do. But this means that our missional habits should be somehow making us stand out from the world around us. There has to be something special about the way that who we are and what we do intersects in these missional habits. So much so that the way we live our lives, what Michael Frost calls us living questionable lives, makes people around us go, there's something different about that person. There's something special about why Reed or Roberta or Mary or Vicky, why they live the way they live. And maybe they would ask, why do you do that? Michael Frost again writes in Surprise the World, "If our only habits are as Christians are going to church and attending meetings, they're not going to connect us with unbelievers or invite curiosity about our faith." This is a hard thing to swallow, but I want you to think about that for a moment. If my only missional habits are coming to church on Sunday mornings or attending some kind of council, outreach, worship, business meeting, then we don't really have missional habits, because there's are good things. Don't get me wrong, you should definitely come to the business meeting. We've worked hard to plan stuff for that, and we appreciate that you come to church, but the world expects us to do that. Nobody is surprised when Christians go to church on Sunday morning or have meetings. There's nothing questionable about that. And none of those things necessarily mean that my life or your life is going to get changed from the inside out. We can go to church every single Sunday and leave exactly as we came and never leave changed. Missional habits have to change us and call others to be changed. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at different missional habits and developing them and practicing them in a way that the world would say we're leading questionable lives. And the first one we're going to look at real quick this morning is bless. B of bells stands for bless. One of the origins of the word bless means to add strength to your neighbor's arm or add strength to someone's arm. I really like that imagery. And in my mind, it conjures up the image of somebody supporting one another as they're struggling to walk, maybe, or putting some armor around somebody's arm, some way of strengthening that person. In Acts chapter 3, verse 25, Peter is at this place called Solomon's Portico, and he is delivering this sermon and speaking to a crowd, and he says to them in verse 25, "You are the descendants of the prophets and the covenant that God gave to your ancestors, saying to Abraham, 'And in your descendants all the people of the earth shall be blessed.'" Now, in this passage, Peter was at the temple. He was at Solomon's portico, and he had just healed a person, and everybody was amazed. You know, why? How did you do this, Peter? What happened? Why did you do this? And Peter says, first of all, I did this through the power of Jesus Christ. But secondly, I did this because I'm supposed to bless people, just like you're supposed to bless people. He was reminding them that from the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, God made a covenant with Abraham, and he said, through you I will bless the entire world. This is what it says. It's starting in verse 2, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless all those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God had blessed the Israelites for the purpose that they would bless the whole world. And that calling has fallen onto the church today, that we are still part of God's vision for the world, and we are an essential part of His plan to bless the world. And so how are we going to bless our neighbors? Well, this is where the Bell's Challenge starts coming in. You have an insert in your bulletin that says Oak Grove Bell's Challenge. It outlines everything that we're going to be doing over the next month. So your challenge this coming week, every single one of you, your challenge this coming week is to bless three people, one of whom does not attend this church. So that's your challenge for the coming week, to bless three people, one of whom does not attend this church. Now, how do we do that? Well, there's a whole lot of ways. In the book, Frost lists three ways to bless people, and I want to go over those. And as we talk about them, I want you to either write down or think about in your mind ways that you might be able to do these things. So one type of blessing is words of encouragement. Mark Twain wrote that I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. We all want to be encouraged. Encouragement is so essential, I think, today. And so how can we do that? Well, we can verbally encourage somebody. Well, we were in Bible study this week. Jennifer Reminder was talking about when she worked in the school system, they would make them carry pennies in their pocket, 6 pennies in their pocket. And anytime they would say something negative to a student, which you have to do sometimes as a teacher, they would need to then say, find 6 ways to say something positive to that student, some kind of encouraging words. That's just to point out that for every negative thing that's said to us in our lives, it takes an awful lot of positive to overcome that. So that's a really easy way to do it, verbally. Or you could write a note, or send a card, or write an email, or post to somebody's timeline. It doesn't have to be a big act, but just a small way of saying, hey, I want to encourage you today. Another way to bless somebody is an act of kindness. You interact with people every single day in your house, where you go to work, if you're retired, where you go buy your groceries, where you go to school, the restaurant, the football field. You interact with people every day, and there's all kinds of ways to treat people kindly, to make their day a little bit better. But this is more than just holding the door open for somebody. That's just being polite. I mean, you should definitely do that if you can. But acts of kindness are intentional ways of trying to make somebody's day a little better. They come from a missional heart, which somebody would say, now why did they do that? I was thinking as a funny example, when we go to the zoo with Rivers, I don't know why this happens, but whenever we look at animals, she'll pull out goldfish and then try to offer them to the animals through the glass. So that's just a small way to interact. But are there ways that you interact with your coworkers that you could do something to make their day a little easier? Or strangers? Acts of kindness. The final way is gifts. These can be big or small. They can be planned, unplanned, or spontaneous. The point, again, is that they need to be given with a sincere heart. Now, from my last week, I was scrolling through Facebook, and I noticed that one of my friends, who happens to be a business owner in downtown West Liberty, it was her birthday that day. And I was just thinking, oh, you know, I want to wish her happy birthday. I hadn't seen her for a while. Well, I know she goes to the coffee shop. I'll text the girls and say, hey, if she comes in, just whatever she gets, I'll pay for it. Now, fortunately or unfortunately, everybody's nice at the coffee shop, and so somebody else paid for her coffee. I was able to buy her bagel. Not a big deal. Wished her happy birthday. Was really happy to do so. I'm saying this not to be like, look how good Alex was this week, but to say that there are always ways to bless people around you if we just keep our eyes open. And two, I want to add that I think sharing these stories are important. One, because it gives us ideas. And two, it shows us that it's not so difficult to bless others. So words of encouragement, acts of kindness, and gifts are just three types of blessings that you could be doing. And they could be done in many, many different ways. We just need to remember that when we practice these habits, they are for the purpose of alerting others to the reign of God, not to alerting others to our own goodness. And if we're blessing someone just to be nice and not connecting it to a life lived differently because of Jesus, well, that's just being nice, and that's not a missional habit either. It's not bad, it's just not missional. On the other hand, we can't bless people, and this is really important, with strings attached. We're not doing these things and saying, I bought you a bagel, now come to my church. That's not part of what we're talking about either. We are called to bless others because God wants us to be a witness to who He is in the world. And this is a really hard distinction to make between these two things, but it's all about genuine heart. And you know and have probably experienced other people being fake, and people are smart about that. And maybe you've experienced somebody being nice to you with strings attached, and that's a really bad feeling too. So we're saying this blessing is different than those things. So your homework this week is to bless three people, one person at least who is not from the church, and to come back and prepare and be prepared to share about what happened, either in the service or in Sunday school. This is really important. We want to hear your stories as a way of encouragement and to get ideas. And as a reminder that you should be doing this, on the way out, there are little bells for everybody to take with them, for everybody, including children, but parents, you can decide on that one. Take them with you, put them in a place that you'll remind you to bless, and then bring them back next Sunday, and if you did your homework, you'll get to ring your bell during the service. It'll be very exciting, I promise. I know you can do it. I'm looking forward to hearing about this, all about this. Now, I want to end this morning with a story about blessing, and I think it's really interesting because it talks about the missional power of blessing. There was this doctoral thesis that somebody had done about comparing people that were blessing versus people that were going strictly, missionaries I should say, that were blessing versus missionaries that were going strictly to convert. The researchers, they studied these two short-term missionary teams that went to Thailand. One of them went, they were just going to evangelize. That was their whole purpose. And the other went, they weren't going to evangelize at all, or that was not their purpose. Their purpose was to go meet people on the streets and find ways to bless their day. So they went, both teams went and did this for a few weeks, short term. What they discovered was that the team that went with the purpose of blessing people they came across had much greater social impact than the team that went to evangelize and convert. But the more interesting thing is the team that went just to bless people, not to evangelize or convert, had 50 times more converts than the team that went strictly to evangelize. Now that's significant. That's significant because I know this church, I know many of you, I know myself, and I don't include myself in one that's very comfortable just walking up to people on the streets and evangelizing. And I think we all get the idea that that's the only way to do it, but this is saying this blessing idea is even more effective than just doing that. So the missional act of blessing is an act of evangelism. And it can be even more effective than these traditional ways we think about. So as we go from this place to bless the people in the places where we live, work, and play, let's be ready and prepared to answer our neighbors the reason that we have this hope and the reason that we do what we do. So let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who does give us a hope that we can find nowhere else in this life. God, I thank you for the people in this congregation and the hope you have given them. And Lord, I pray as we begin this 5-week challenge, of going and doing these missional habits. God, that you would open our eyes to the opportunities around us. Lord, encourage us to step out of our comfort zone if need be. And Lord, find ways to bless others and be ready to share why we're doing it if asked. Lord, may our communities, the communities of Bell Fountain, of West Liberty, of Urbana, of St. Paris, of all the places that we live, God, may they be blessed by us being in them. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that he work in us and through us, and it's in his name we pray all these things. Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a response song.